I want to thank you all for letting me be here this morning. As Pastor said, yes, Lisa is my little sister, right? I have four sisters, and I want to, I'm blessed today because my family's here today. I'm thankful that my mom and dad, Ruth and John Gallegos, are here, part of your congregation, so thank you for having them. My beautiful wife, Ev, is here. My twin sister, Julie, and her husband, Dave, are here. And my nephew, Nathan, and his girlfriend, Peyton, are here. So I'm thankful to have family and thankful to be here. Amen. And it's great to be here. If you have been here for more than 7 years, more than the time you've been here, you might recognize me or remember me. I preached at the old building. So this is the first time here. So this is like amazing. I'm really excited to be here. And I'm thankful because I know I'm a pastor. I know giving up your pulpit can be uncomfortable or scary, but Chris, I'm so thankful that he let me be here this morning. And so talking up the theme, you guys have been talking about thriving in exile. And one of the things that I know that hits all of us today, I want to talk about discouragement. How many of you guys experience discouragement in your life? Right? We all do. Right? In fact, today, this morning, I got a little discouraged. Me and my wife, we just woken up, and she mentioned to me that yesterday, in one of the California lotteries, one ticket was bought in Woodland, California. Little Woodland, right? And the person won about $57 million. And she told me that, and I immediately began to think, first of all, why didn't I buy my ticket yesterday? I didn't buy my ticket. But I began to think, why that person? Why don't I ever win the lottery? I play pretty consistently. And so it began to cause a kind of a way of thinking, some thoughts that came, and I started thinking, why don't I ever win it? And I started thinking, you know, next to retirement, I was thinking, man, would it be great if I won the lottery and all these things? And I started to get kind of a little anxious and even a little depressed and thinking, man, I wish I would have won it. Why can't I ever win anything? And that's how discouragement is, right? Discouragement attacks us. It comes into sometimes it, we don't even expect it, and we begin to get down, and we begin to lose hope. One of the things that I preached a sermon series a couple months back about thinking, and so today, I want us to think right, okay? But before that, I want to show you a couple pictures. I want to show you a picture of a nice, organized garage. Check that out. You guys like that garage? Now, I don't know if you know Pastor Chris. I probably do. Pastor Chris is pretty organized. If you were to walk in Pastor Chris's garage, it would look like this. Okay, he's got a box and a label, I think, for everything. The guy's organized, right? So, very right. This is the right way to organize your garage. Now, let's look at the next picture. The next picture is my garage. Yeah. Anyone? That's my garage. That's not the right way to organize your garage.
Why not?
I kind of were like, yeah, right? My wife's like, no. What happens, you guys, when you see the other picture, what feelings come on? Oh, peace. I can walk. Yeah, I know where I'm walking. I know where everything is. Whereas when this happens, last week I was trying to do a job and I was looking for a tool. And it took me about 20 minutes. Because I knew it was somewhere. It just took me a while. Now, if we think of those two pictures, I want to talk about the way we think. There's a right way to think and a wrong way to think, especially when we're hit with discouragement. All right? I want to mention a verse here. David has a verse here in Psalms. And check out David, okay? Now, David, right, knew what it meant to be in exile, right? King David, right before he was king, spent several years, right, at times in exile. King Saul was after him. And so I imagine he probably, maybe in one of the times he's in exile, this verse came up. Look what it says. It says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Or just put the other word, discouraged, right? It's what he's asking himself. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and God. Now, David's going to show us what to do with these thoughts. See, psychology tells us that Thoughts produce feelings, and feelings produce actions. All right, let me say that again. A thought, right, will produce a feeling, and then a feeling will produce an action, right? So for instance, this morning, right, I hear the lottery, and what do I think? I think, well, why can't I win the lottery? Or I think, man, what could I do with that lottery, right? And so what happens? I begin thinking that, and then what? I begin to get a little anxious because retirement is about 10 years, 15 years. I don't know. My wife always said, well, honey, I'm working till I'm dead. But it's coming, and I'm thinking, right? So the thought, and then I start getting anxious, and I start stressing. Okay, what am I doing here? And then what happens can be an action, right? We begin to what? Do things, react maybe short or get stressed out and begin to do things that will affect us. Not good for us. So remember, thinking, thoughts, feelings, actions. And so what happens when discouragement comes our way? Today I want to talk to you about that, right? What is discouragement, right? Discouragement is simply, if we go to the root words, we go here, right? What a discouragement, right, is what? It is dis, negative, of courageous, right? Not being courageous. Or the Latin root has to do with, in the Spanish word, desánimo has to do with the opposite of ánimo is our animus or is our soul, right? So it's the opposite, right, of having hope or confidence. And so when discouragement comes our way, we lose hope, we lose confidence. And all those dis words come around. Dissatisfaction, right? Discontentment, right? Dislocation or disjointed, we feel out of place. And so when discouragement comes our way, there begins these thoughts and these actions that if we're not careful will lead us to a place where when I look at my garage, right, it could be dangerous. I could walk in there and trip on something, right? Or it's just a place that is not healthy, not good. And so I want to talk today about what we can do to overcome those feelings of discouragement. Now, no, can we put the verse back up there again, Psalm, because what it's going to do is we're going to see. Now, look what David does with those thoughts, right? He is discouragement. His soul is downcast. But look at what he does. He what? He says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Number one, he replaces discouragement with a right thought, right? God exists. God is real, right? God is for me. He saves me, right? He is my God. And so he replaces it with a right thought. And then what happens? Discouragement, he replaces it with the right feeling. I can put my hope in God. I can trust in God. And then he replaces discouragement with a right action. What does he do? He says, I'm going to praise God. And so when we're discouraged, what we need to do is we need to understand that we need to think different, feel different, which will produce a right action. Let's go to point number one. You'll see that you have an outline there. Point number one, what do we do? How can we overcome discouragement? We can do that when I remember, number one, right thought, right? Everyone gets discouraged often. Look at it in your bulletin. Everyone gets discouraged often. You could write that in there or look what it says. Everyone gets discouraged often. Wrong thought. Everyone else always seems happy. Everyone else, things are going great for them, right? Why does everyone seem so happy and I feel so discouraged? What's a right thought? A right thinking is understanding that everyone is always struggling with something. Isn't that right? Yeah. All right, you guys, sometimes we think it's going good with everyone, but the reality is that everyone all the time, we are always constantly, everyone goes through times of discouragement. And feeling sad or feeling hopeless, but discouragement is a normal thing that happens in our life. So if we understand that when those thoughts and feelings come, we can stop that discouragement from taking over us when we understand that everyone experiences discouragement. Joshua 1, chapter 9. Look what Joshua says, right? Joshua, remember Joshua, at this point, chapter 1, Moses has died. And now it falls on Joshua's shoulder to lead a crew of about a little over 2 million people. How would you guys respond to that, right? like, I gotta lead these people to the promised land. Moses is gone. What do I do? And look at what he says, right? He's discouraged, but look what God tells him. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, the opposite of discouragement. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Isn't that good? Right? You guys, Joshua was discouraged. Right? You would have thought, man, he's ready to lead. He was discouraged and God knew it and he wanted to encourage him. Second verse. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19, 3 and 4. All right, Elijah. Remember Elijah. Elijah at this point has had this dramatic encounter, right, on Mount Carmel, and God has shown up good. He's defeated the false prophets, and he's shown himself to Israel, and Elijah goes to the desert, into the desert, and he gets to a place. Look what it says. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. After this huge, incredible victory, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. It then says, he came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Elijah was pretty discouraged. We might even say he was a little depressed, right? Well, what happened, right? He had this tremendous victory. And oftentimes, church, that discouragement comes when we're tired, exhausted, physically or emotionally. Elijah had just had this amazing experience and he hears this threat from Jezebel and he runs away and he's here and he's in the desert and he just thinks, man, Lord, take me, right? Take me away, Calgon, right? He's like, take me away, Lord. He was discouraged. And if we think through scripture, great men and women of God have got discouraged, right? David was discouraged. We just read David. Right? Jonah got discouraged. Peter was discouraged. Jesus got discouraged. Paul, the great apostle Paul, had times when he was discouraged. But notice that they didn't stay there. None of these individuals stayed in their discouragement. And I want to encourage you today is that if they can push through, you and I can. Amen? We can push through. So understanding that we all have times of discouragement can help us understand that we don't have to stay there. Discouragement, let me say this, Church Summit, discouragement will never define us, but it can push us towards the one who can help us push through the discouragement. Amen? 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 So everyone gets discouraged, right? Point number two. We need to remember when we're discouraged that God is in control of my life. Amen? Let's say that again. God is in control of my life. When I understand that God is in control of my life, I can face discouragement and push through and understand that that does not define me. Wrong thinking as far as this point. Wrong thinking. Where, you know, oftentimes we say, where is God when I need him? Where are you, God? Have you ever felt like you're going through something and you're like, God, I don't see you. We all do that, right? Where are you? Where are you in this, God? I don't see you in this. Another way of wrong thinking could be simply, I'm alone. Right? We all have feelings of feeling alone. We don't have people, family, friends around us. But that is the wrong way of thinking. Why? Because God says, I'm always with you. Amen? Amen. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the reality is that we're never alone. See, the problem with our thinking is oftentimes, church, isn't this true? Our thinking does not line up with reality. If I think I'm alone, the Bible tells me I'm never alone. And so I don't have to be afraid. Look what Psalm 118, verse 6 says. You ever think you're alone? Look what the Bible says. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Amen. What can human beings, what can the world do to me if I know that God is with me? I'm never alone. God is in control of my life because why? He is with me, number one. Number two, if he's with me, I don't have to be afraid. And number three, if he's taking care of me, he's protecting and going ahead of me. Ahead and behind me. I remember one incident when I was little. my twin, we used to have fun, and we grew up in Colorado the first 8 years of our life. And I remember, I'm aging myself, okay, you guys, this series came out called Helter Skelter, okay? It was about Charles Manson and his group going on. And I remember I was at my friend's house, a block away, the lights, you know, it was dark, and I had to ride my bike home. And the Helter Skelter kind of, I started thinking, right? It's kind of scary. And I'm thinking something's going to jump out of the bush at any time. I was afraid, right? I was by myself. But how many of you guys know that even in the dark, if you're with someone, if you're walking with someone holding hands, or you know someone's with you, you're not as afraid because you have someone with you. If you and I know that God is always with us, no matter what dark times we're going through, maybe you are going through a difficult time right now, I want to tell you, God is with you. Amen? You're not alone. We are not alone. Romans 8, 29 and 31. Look at this verse. For those, God, I want you to look at this. God has a plan for us. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he, notice the progression, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you today, church, this verse tells me that God has a purpose and a plan in our lives. And what is he doing? He is perfecting us. He's maturing us. And the discouraging times of our life do not define us. Why? Because God has a plan. He lays it out right here, right? He has called us. He's predestined us. And now he's in the process of molding and shaping us into the image, conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus. Did Jesus go through discouraging, tough times? You better believe it, right? He was rejected by his people, John tells us. His own family at times thought he was probably crazy. Everyone, the religious leaders, didn't agree with him. They eventually put him on a cross. But he knew the Father was with him. And I want to encourage you today. If you're going through a tough time, remember, God is in control and God is present in your life. Amen? Number three, we need to remember in times of discouragement, everything that God has given us. Wrong thinking, church. Everyone else has it better. Everyone else, right, is doing better than me. I don't have enough. Another wrong thought, right? I don't have enough. I want you this morning, church, to think of all the good things and all the blessings that you have in your life. You see, our problem is we begin to compare ourselves with others. And we always think the grass is greener, it's always better. We look at social media, right? How many of you guys know that social media is not reality, right? But it always seems like everyone has their best photo, the best screenshot, they're on their best vacation, they're doing everything great. And the reality is that's not real. Right? We all go through struggles and trials and tribulations. But I want to remind you this morning, when you're going through a discouraging time, I want you to remember the good things that are happening in your life and the good people you have around you and the blessings that are present in your everyday life. Ephesians 1:3 says this, check it out. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, say it with me, every. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did you know that? Did you know it says, this verse says that you and I have every spiritual blessing that we will need in this life in Jesus Christ, through Jesus. He goes on to talk about we're adopted, we're forgiven, right? We have a bunch of great things, right? We're in him, we have redemption, right? We were chosen. We've been included in Christ. You were marked in him with a seal. We have all these spiritual blessings. And right now, I want you to just take a second and think of all the good things you have in your life. All the blessings that you have. We are blessed, church. Right? So when you get discouraged, I want to challenge you this morning. If not this morning or tonight or sometime, I have a list, right? Kind of, I call it my treasure list. And I write down all the treasures that I have in my life, my family, my kids. And when sometimes I feel down, I just look at that list. So I want to encourage you today, just a little homework, a step that you could do. Write a list or get a note, digit note or sometime. And whenever you kind of feel down or about depressed or you're getting discouraged, I want you to look and I want you to detail all the blessings and all the good things that are going on that you have in your life. And what does that begin to do? It changes the way we think, right? I'm blessed. And when I know that I'm blessed, what happens? I stand a little taller, my head's a little higher, right? And I know that even though I'm going through a trial, a tribulation, a struggle, it's not going to last. Psalm 103, 2 and 5 says this. Check this out. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The psalmist tells us here, we're forgiven. Amen. He forgives us. How many thank God that he forgives us? When we mess up, right? And you and I are going to mess up today or tomorrow. It's going to happen. It says he forgives us. It says he heals us. It says he redeems us. It says he crowns us. He satisfies us. And he renews and enlivens us with strength and vitality. You feel tired this morning? You feel a little down? Know this, that the God that we serve says, I'm going to enliven you. I'm going to strengthen you. I redeemed you. I'll forgive you. I'll heal you. I am here for you. That's the God we serve. And finally, number four, how do we overcome discouragement? This is powerful. Right, we want to use my, I want, remember, to use my hurt or your hurt to encourage someone else. Wrong thinking. God must be angry with me when difficult circumstances come my way. I must be doing something wrong. Folks, let me tell you, church, right? We live in a broken, fallen, messed up world. Right? And bad things and difficult things happen to everyone. Doesn't mean God's angry. Doesn't mean God doesn't love us. We just live in a broken, fallen world. So how can I overcome, right? When I experience those times, maybe when I blow it, when I say something I shouldn't, when I feel I do something I shouldn't. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Now notice, right? We're going through a struggle, right? We need comfort, number one. God says he's going to comfort you. Amen? Thank God. He comforts us, but notice what God wants us to do with that comfort. He doesn't want us to hoard it, right? Like we love to do, right? The blessings, the things we have. God says, I want you what? The comfort that you receive, I'm giving to you in your trial and tribulation so that you can give it away to someone else. Amen? And so we're to be conduits of the blessings and the comfort that God gives us when we go through difficult and discouraging circumstances. He wants us to take that comfort, and Paul will say, right? He says, what? We want to give it away. Now, I don't know about you guys, when I can help someone, when we help someone, how do you feel after? You just feel so good about, man, I really was able to help someone and bless someone and encourage someone. And what does that do? That helps us think less of ourselves and think more of others. And so when you are discouraged, right, we need to remember what? That God wants us to give those that comfort away. The Olympics are, how many like the Olympics? Olympics are coming up, right? I love the Olympics, right? But how many of you guys know, you guys, we see those athletes and they're at the top form, the peak there, and they're competing, winning medals or just competing on a high level. How many of you guys know that they didn't just drop out of the sky one day, perfect machines and rewilding? No, that was years of training, right? Years of injuries, heartache, struggle, tears, blood, everything, right? That took time. That was a process. And let me just remind you, church, God is in the process of what? Of growing us and maturing us. And part of what happens, part of that process is that we go through trials and tribulations and struggles. All right? That's just the way it is. Just think of your life, right? Just growing up physically, spiritually, emotionally. We go through trials and tribulations so that we can become stronger. so that we can mature and grow. It's part of the process. The Word of God says here in Galatians 6:2, look what it says. Final verse. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul tells us in Galatians, God's calling you to carry the burdens of others. But how many of you know, to be able to carry the burden of someone else, we have, in a great way, we have to have also felt that burden so that we can be a help and a comfort to those who are going through those things. The discouragements that you're going through today, God's going to use for you to encourage someone else that's going through the same discouragement. Amen? That's what God does. He wants to redeem everything in our life, even the difficult circumstances. And so today, how do we overcome discouragement? When I am discouraged, let me serve and help someone else who perhaps is going through the same thing. Or after I go through a trial and tribulation, let's look for someone that we can help and serve and carry that burden so that the burden can be a little lighter. And what's going to happen, church, is what happens is the more that we get our eyes off us and our circumstances and our troubles, you know what happens? Discouragement goes away. Because I'm pouring into helping someone else and I'm concerned about someone else. And I begin to think less of my situation. What I don't want to communicate today is I'm making less of what you and I are going through. You may be going through a tough time right now. I want to encourage you. God knows what's going on. Right? He's in control. He loves you. He's going to use that. He's purposing everything so that we can mature and grow so that we could be a blessing to someone else. Notice the progression. Right? God wants us to grow and mature. And he uses all of that. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. As I close, good news. I started cleaning my garage last week. Yeah, I want to pat myself on the back. My wife's been telling me, John, I can't go in the garage. What happened? I was like, I got to start cleaning up. So I just said, I'm just going to clean the top. We got a camper. We're going to just clean the top of the camper. I started doing that. You know what happened? Right? The next day I kind of opened up, and instead of like, when you open the door and it's like, I don't even want to look. Now it's like, hey, it looks a little better. And it motivated me to do a little more. And so our water softener has been kind of on the brink for a while. And I got motivated and I cleaned that out and it works now. So what happened, right? I was like, I want to avoid the garage. I don't want to go in there. Now it's like I'm motivated, right? And I'm not discouraged anymore. I want to do something to make my garage more organized. When we change our thinking, what's going to happen? Our feelings will change, and then our actions will change. God wants us to think right about discouragement. David in exile in the desert was discouraged. But notice what he did. He's like, I'm discouraged. Why am I so discouraged? Right? It's important. He recognized his discouragement. So what I don't want you to communicate is that we kind of just push. No, recognize it. God, I'm discouraged right now. Cheryl, I'm discouraged right now. But notice what he did. He switched to thinking. He embraced that. He recognized it. But then he said, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to put my hope in you. And then what did he do? He praised to God. He praised God. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you're struggling or going through something, discouraged, right? Let's think right. Right? We talked about everyone goes through discouragement. This is normal. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. Discouragement happens in our lives. What do we do with it? Right? We talked about, well, let's remember, God is in control. God knows what he's doing. He knows what you're going through. You're not alone, right? He's there with you. And then let's do this. let's remember all the blessings we have. Amen? This morning, just think of all the good things I have in life. Think of your family. Think of the friends around you. Think of your job. Think of the car. You guys, most of you came in a car that works. All of you I see here, right? You're alive, right? Relatively healthy. You were able to come to church today, right? You can see. We can walk, right? I'm here. I've got people around me. I got a church family. I'm blessed. So when we think, right, we're blessed, our outlook changes. And then let's remember that even in the difficult trials and circumstances that we go through discouragement, God says, I want you to use the comfort I've given you to comfort someone else. So homework, get a treasure list. Today, tonight, sometime this week, write down a list of all the blessings. And when you feel discouraged, when you feel like that, right, that you're discouraging thoughts, read it. Remind yourself. And I want to challenge you to look for someone today, this week, who you know is discouraged or going through something, and be a blessing and encouragement to them. I mean, come up alongside them. Carry their burden. Be a blessing. How can I serve you? What do you need? How can I be? Just be a blessing to them and help them. And what that's going to do, man, that's going to help us overcome and leave that discouragement behind. Amen? Amen. God is for you. God loves you. He knows what you're going through. And if you feel discouraged today, give it to the Lord. Recognize who God is, and then let's worship. Let's praise him and thank him for what he's doing and what he's going to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor.